I don't know how we do this. I don't know how we put up with it. The Nationals blew their 27th save yesterday. The Nationals blew their 27th save yesterday. It is a Sunday. It is the day of the Lord. And we are going to begin, over the course of the next 3 hours, a prayer circle for the Nationals bullpen, because nothing on earth is going to save it at this point, it feels like. At least nothing within the organization. We need divine intervention. We need something holy to ascend or descend down to us and touch the bullpen so they stop blowing saves. 27! They're nearly touching the largest amount of blown saves in a season at the halfway point. God knows what's going to happen today in the final set against the Yankees. It's a record that the organization has already set before in 2021, but I was really hoping that they would never come close to that. At least give us a decade or two before you flirt with it again. And here we are just a few years later doing the same thing, but this one hurt maybe just a little bit more. You know, what took place on Friday stung, and it stung a particular way because they went to a guy in Crook out of the bullpen that we didn't really know about. He's very new, Matt Crook, didn't have a lot of experience at the major league level, and you're scratching your head and saying, why are you going to him? You had Beeter, who was playing well. He was pitching well. He had good numbers against lefties. They were trying to go lefty-lefty, but the righty had good numbers against lefty. So then in the perfect Shakespearean style of irony, what happened yesterday? Beeter, the guy who we were crying, at least I was, about getting and staying into the game on Friday, had the opportunity to prove us correct and say, this is what I can do when you put some trust in me. And what did he do? Well, he did what happened. He did what happened yesterday. A homer. He gave up not just one, but he gave up two homers. And we have this for you. This is the radio call of it. This is the one that was backbreaking. There was a homer at first in the eighth by the Yankees. McMahon hit one solo shot, made it 2-1. The Nats had a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning, if you missed the game yesterday. They had a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning. McMahon hit a solo shot to make it 2-1. And then Grisham stepped to the plate with Beeter on the mound, and it sounded like this.
Beeter delivers the pitch. Swing and a long drive. Right field, forget about it. Going, gone, goodbye. Into the second deck, Trent Grisham with his 10th home run of the year. RBIs 39 and 40. And here we go again. That is blown save number 27 on the year. With 27 saves, 27 blown saves. And it's a three-run eighth for the Yankees with one out and still batting. It's New York 3, Washington 2.
Sick. Love that. Here we go again. Because now, like, it's not even the elephant in the room. Everybody acknowledges it. Oh, here we go. 27 blown saves. I was watching on television. Dan Colco, as soon as that home run was hit, said, it happened in the eighth today. Yep, happened in the eighth. Blown save number 27. Everybody knows it. They can't do anything about it. And that is the most frustrating part of this, is that everybody knows the bullpen cannot operate at a quality level, but nobody can do anything about it. This great, like, Shakespearean level of irony, because the Shakespearean level of irony is not just that Beeter was the one that gave up two homers and the blown save. It's that Matt Crook, the guy who was really, really bad in the ninth inning on Friday, ended up being pretty darn decent on Saturday. He pitched he almost pitched two full innings. He pitched 1 2/3 innings, and he was pretty darn good. And you're like, hold on. The guy that had an 18 ERA entering the ballgame actually ended up being the best relief pitcher that took the mound for the Nationals. I mean, we're so lost. My head is not on straight. Your head is not on straight. It's impossible to figure out, like, where are we right now? Can I get a timeout? I need a FIFA hydration break when it comes to the bullpen and the way that it operates. It's just, you have no idea on any given day who is actually going to have it and who is not. And that's incredibly frustrating as a fan. It's got to be incredibly frustrating inside the organization as well. Blake Butera has talked about, well, we have this process that we are running through and we want to stay to our process. That was his explanation for what happened on Friday. So you know that they have something. You know that they have something that they are following. Process, a plan, whatever. They have something and it doesn't work. And it's not because the process isn't good. It's because there's no consistency in the bullpen. You got a decent starting pitching rotation. I've actually been, you know, kind of pleased with the starting pitching rotation. I thought what they did yesterday with the opener worked out, you know, pretty decently for them, all things considered. I mean, the Yankees were scoreless until the eighth inning, so that's a big-time win when you consider how high-powered that offense is. So they have a decent starting pitching rotation, but their starting pitching is not good enough to go into the seventh, into the eighth inning. It's just not. So you have to have these bodies and these arms come out sometimes very, very early, and you just cannot trust them. And that puts you managerially in an impossible position. That puts us as fans in a soul-crushing position. I looked at my wife yesterday. It was 2-0. It was the eighth inning. And I looked at her and I said, this is not going to go well. I'd explained to her how bad the team's bullpen had been. And she looked back at me and she said, yeah, it's not going to go well. And then boom, rattled off 3 homers in the eighth inning. And you're like, well, this sucks. This is not an enjoyable thing at all. And by the way, before we crush the bullpen too much, which you will have an opportunity to do so at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. It is not just the bullpen. You know, the offense did a good job. James Wood, leadoff homer, again. The guy should be an all-star starter. He's not, whatever. Another leadoff homer for him. But he did so against a guy that has been in the early season conversation for the AL Cy Young in Cam Schlittler. Nobody is safe when James Wood is to the plate. Nobody is safe. But it is not without recognition that the Nationals did not score outside of the first inning. 2 homers against one of the best pitchers in baseball. Double thumbs up. Love that. That guy had surrendered only 10 homers the entirety of the year. The Nationals hit 2 off of him in the first inning. It is not lost that they did not score again. It is not lost that they left the bases stranded twice. Weren't able. Bases loaded, stranded them all twice. Weren't able to get anyone across home plate. Obviously, you would have needed 3 runs to beat the Yankees, 3 more runs to beat the Yankees with the 4 that they put up, but it is not lost that offensively they were not able to get runs across the plate outside of the first inning. So for this game in particular, and the way that they lost, that needs to be taken into consideration because it also is the second time in as many nights that they had an opportunity in the ninth inning at home to do something what I would consider to be special, which is making up for the terrible bullpen. They had an opportunity to win the game, and they were not able to capitalize on that. So that needs to be put out there as well, that yes, the bullpen is awful, terrible, worst. But the offense did not do its part, I thought, outside of the first inning, ultimately against a pretty good Yankees team. That now puts the Nationals at a 50% blown save percentage, which is third to last in Major League Baseball. The only 2 teams that have a worse percentage when it comes to saves are the Detroit Tigers and the Los Angeles Angels. The Detroit Tigers are 7 games under .500. The Los Angeles Angels are 20 games under 500. It's fair to point to those teams and say those teams suck. The Tigers are not good. They didn't have Scooble for part of the year. Didn't matter. They're not good. The Angels are perennially awful. Even though Mike Trout had a good start to the season, they are perennially awful. Those are the only two teams, when it comes to blown save percentage, that are worse than the Nationals. The caveat in this conversation is that the Nationals are actually good. Outside of the fact that their bullpen continues to blow saves, which I honestly, at this point, we might just call them the blowpen, because that's all they do is blow saves. I might have just accidentally stumbled across a great nickname for them until they put this thing together. So the blowpen for the Nationals is the thing that is keeping them at 500. They're 48-48. If they were just decent, they'd have at minimum 53 wins. At minimum. Largely, they'd actually have probably a little bit more. If you wanted to get like into the nitty-gritty of things, they're 50%. You jump up 10%. Just 10%. If you just went from saving 50% of the games where you've had opportunities, because they've had 54 opportunities, which is the most in Major League Baseball, four save opportunities, which means you're leading in the end of the game. If you just increase that percentage by like 10, you get another 4 or 5 wins. If you increase it by 15, which would have them at the median of Major League Baseball at around 65-66% of save percentile, it would get you another 8 to 9 wins. You would literally be the best team in the National League East. You'd be above the Atlanta Braves. You would be in the competition with Milwaukee and Los Angeles for having the best record in the National League if you just were 10 to 15% better in the bullpen when it comes to actual save percentages. So it really does actually put into consideration that the bullpen is just completely screwing them this year. Like, just completely screwing them this year. They're good enough to compete with some of the best teams in the National League, offensively. Now, Young, yes, again, as I mentioned, you would have loved to see more runs come across the plate outside of the first inning. Leaving the bases loaded on two occasions is not something to celebrate. There is no close here. Get across the plate. Guys got to take some better at-bats. Just put some contact, put the ball in play, right? Get these guys across the plate. That is all true. So that does worry me a little bit, but I am fully in the camp where the Nationals need to buy at the deadline. And I don't want to hear anything about mortgaging the future. I don't think you have to mortgage the future massively to buy. I don't think you need to start handing out prospects left, right, and center that are massive names that you have really high hopes for. I don't think you need to do any of that. But for lower level prospects that you don't really know what they're going to be, you know, maybe you don't have a massive plan for them. You know they have talent, but you don't have a massive plan for them. I think you have to start shopping those guys around over the next couple of weeks. And really, I think the Nationals should be very aggressive in doing so. What I mean by that is that we are still a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline. So there are some teams that might lie to themselves and think that they're not going to be sellers. Well, in a week or two, they're going to be sellers after the All-Star break. I think you need to get in their ears early if you haven't started that process already. So if you're looking across Major League Baseball, if you haven't already, which I'm sure they have, but it's really time to start ironing in and focusing on some of the names across baseball that you think would come in and not just be a good fit culturally with what you're trying to do. Maybe contractually you have a couple of years of control, so you're not just trading for a one and done. But bring some guys in that you feel like can really make you better. Admittedly, the bar does feel a little low because nobody has their stuff, which is, again, why we are starting a prayer circle on this Sunday morning, because they need Jesus in there. He needs to come down and bless the arms, the right and the left, of some of the guys in this bullpen so they can stop giving up home runs. So they can finish the first half of the season over 500 by picking up a win today. I mean, how great would that be? Like, just think about this broadly here. How great would it be if they finish the first half of the season a game over 500? in 2026, in a year where the expectation was that they were going to be bad externally and internally. The thought was they're not going to be very good this year. So how amazing would it be to be over 500 by the time you get to the All-Star break? Got to win today against the Yankees. You're sitting at 500 now. Got to win today against the Yankees. But if you're over 500 at the All-Star break, with the offense that you have, as good as it has been, you're buying at the deadline. You should be buying at the deadline. What do you think? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I invite your calls. I invite you to join me in the prayer circle. Pray for the Nationals bullpen so we can stop calling them the blowpen with the amount of blown saves that they have put forth this year. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. We take some of your phone calls when we get back. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. D-Day in D.C., Denton Day, 106.7 on 106.7 The Fan. We are living on this prayer to fix the Nationals' blowpen, as I've decided to call them. They have now blown 27 saves. That is the most amount in Major League Baseball by a pretty considerable margin. The next closest is the Detroit Tigers, who have blown 7 less saves than the Nationals. They're also one of the few teams that has a worse percentage of saves, given the opportunities. The Nationals have had 54 opportunities for saves, and they have walked away losing 27 of those games. And we're not naive here. We understand that baseball is baseball. You are going to blow saves. Not everyone can be the Houston Astros, who have currently, to this point in the season, blown only 5 saves. Or the Cleveland Guardians, who have blown only 9 saves. The Red Sox, who have blown only 9 saves. Actually, you know what? You could be some of those teams. Because there's a bunch of teams that have blown 9, only 10, 11 saves to this point in the year. And the team in our city has blown 27. They're knocking on the door of one of the worst seasons that a bullpen has ever had. It's why I've aptly decided to call them the blowpen instead of the bullpen, until they can get themselves moving in the right direction. Get a couple of arms at the trade deadline, or more than a couple, and get this situation right so you give yourself an opportunity to not just be dwindling in the wild card race, but have a legitimate chance to maybe compete for the division. They're not entirely out of the division. They're 7 games back, but imagine if you had good arms to close games out, rather than what we've been suffering through to this point in the season. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Do you support my idea of the Nationals buying at the deadline, or is it time to just sell, recognize that there's a long-term plan here, and that you need to stick to the long-term plan? We're starting a prayer circle as well. So if you'd like to pray for the team and pray for their arms, you can do that as well. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Little tweets me and says, Denton, the Nationals' problem is the pitching coach isn't mentally preparing pitchers. Let me explain. We get ahead of batters 0-2. How many times the next pitch is straight down the middle of the plate instead of having the batter chase a bad pitch or two? We give a bunny up. They have been leaving quite a number of pitches right over the plate. Now, what I don't know is, and this is the biggest struggle of the current situation, is that a coaching thing? Is that a player thing? And what I mean by that is, are they having the control with their pitches to put them in the right spots? Because there is a scenario to where they're expecting a pitch to go, let's just say, top left or bottom right corner, depending on, you know, whatever side of the plate the batter's standing on, and they just can't get it there. So maybe they're trying to get guys to chase, they don't have the control necessary, and they leave it hanging over the plate, and then what you have is what we have had last night and the nights before that, and then a couple of weeks ago. It felt like every night they played the Philadelphia Phillies, they had something like that. And then you're just letting things fly out of the ballpark because the control isn't where it needs to be from the arms in the bullpen. I don't know. Maybe it is a pitching coach thing, but I tend to think that it might be the players, because it's everybody. Like it's literally everybody. There is not a guy on the roster right now in the bullpen that I would look at and say, I really trust this dude to come out and close the game. Because if they had one, we would be calling them a closer. Who's the closer on the team? We're over halfway into the season. Who's the closer on the team? There is none. And I know they thought they were going to be bad this year, but this is the real telltale sign of a great organization. Can you adjust when you're good? If the expectation was to be bad, but your offense has been so historically good, do you have the mental capacity inside of the organization, the intelligence to realize, oh my God, we are really good all of a sudden? This like rebuild, down to the studs, tear back, like all these things, they kind of worked. Hell, we have multiple all-stars. We got multiple guys that are really having success at the plate. No one has scored more runs in all of baseball than us. That includes the Dodgers, whose payroll is quite literally like $1 billion. Meanwhile, our payroll is like $50 million. That's not a shoot, by the way. It's like really only $50 million. So they quite literally have money to spend if they want to go out there, make a deal, and take on a contract that's a little bit steeper. I'm not saying you got to take on this massive, you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar contract. I'm not saying you got to take on like a Josh Hader-level contract where you're trading for someone that you then have to pay $10 million the rest of the way. Like, you don't have to do that. But you should absolutely be comfortable making some deals to go get guys that you might have to pay $1 million, $2 million for the next couple of seasons, understanding that it's going to result in wins. And what happens when the team wins in the city? Well, people care. We start to care when the team wins. There are a lot of diehard Nats fans that have seen this through thick and thin. And God love you. God love us, honestly, because we talk about this daily on this station. But if we're being honest, there's a bunch of people that when Soto got traded, they decided, I'm gonna take a little bit of a break. They need to win me back. We have a little bit of the fair weatherness, if you will. And largely that's because DC is such a transient city that some people move, more people come in, and they're not from here, so they don't care about the teams in the city and all these things, right? But when you're winning, it's very easy to grab the attention of those around town. It's very easy to, hey, we're playing really good baseball. Yeah, the people from Fairfax want to take the Metro in to come watch us play. Oh, the people from various parts of Maryland, I don't know y'all's geography as much, I apologize, but from various parts of Maryland, well, they want to come in and watch us play. Whereas otherwise, if we're getting beat like a drum every single day, every single week, they're not as likely to come in. So you bring more people in when you win, which then should in turn make the learners very happy because that means more money is coming in. But you have to pay to make money. You have to pay what it takes to put a winning team on the field. I'm just hoping that they finally come around to it. Do you think they will? 800-636-1067. Will the Nationals buy at the deadline to save the bullpen, who has now blown 27 saves on the season? Your phone calls at 800-636-1067, plus your tweets at the Denton Day as we continue on here. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. We've already had a good start to the show. We've decided that there is a new nickname in the city. It's not a positive one, but until further notice, or until they proceed to stop blowing saves, the Nationals bullpen is going to be referred to as the Blowpen. They've blown 27 saves. That is far and away the most in Major League Baseball, and it is getting entirely too close for comfort to the 2024 White Sox, who blew 37 saves. Now, you should know, the 2024 White Sox were not particularly good. Like, really, really, really bad. Like, 41 and 121 bad. And that's what the bullpen is pushing. Now, they being the 2024 41 and 121 Chicago White Sox didn't have a lot of opportunities for saves, and they still blew 37 of them, where the Nationals have significantly more opportunities because their offense is good. But it's time for the ownership to make a decision. Are you going to commit to this thing? Or are you not? Are you going to buy at the deadline? Or are you not? Your thoughts, 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well, at the Denton Day. Kurt is in Ashburn. Kurt, you're on 106.7 The Fan. What's up?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Listen, we're very close to being a competitive team. We've got defense. We've got hitting. We got starting pitching now, including some left to come back. And I think we ought to wait and get the end of the year, see what we can do for a reliever. Besides, I have a real personal interest. I'm older than Nino Asses, and I can't be around for too many rebuilds.
Now, you said, I got to win now.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway, about praying for the team, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Pat Kelly. He was part of the left field rotation of Gary Reneke and John Lowenstein for the Orioles that won the series. And he hit a walk-off double. He was a born-again Christian. He had a walk-off double. No, it wasn't the one that won the series, I'm sorry, because Earl Lee was the manager. But he came back to the dugout, walk-off home run, Orioles win. And Pat says, see, Skipper, I told you the Lord was on our side. And Earl Weaver, you know, the only Earl Weaver could do, said, what did the Lord have against that poor son of a gun who hung you a curveball?
Kurt, I appreciate the call. So some really good points there made by Kurt. You look at this roster, right? They have offense. They have defense. So they have a bunch of different ways that they can go out there and win, that they can go out there and compete. The one thing that is holding them back, and it's not even a ball and chain at this point, it's like they're trying to pull a truck, is the bullpen, because they can't get it done. You can't take a 2-0 lead into the eighth inning against the New York Yankees and then lose that thing 4-2. I don't care if it's the Yankees. You'd have them scoreless to that point, and you gave it up. You gave it up on Friday. We remember the Philly series from a couple of weeks ago, as much as some of us might try the Men in Black flashy thing to try and forget it. You're taking leads in late into games against good teams because you're a good team, and then the bullpen is just completely ruining it. That can't happen. And as we get closer to the deadline and as the market starts to open up a little bit, because it's not there yet, you know, teams are going to hold that and hold and hold and hold to see if they can get something really, really good for one of their guys if they're going to be trading somebody. The market's not there yet. But as the market starts to develop and starts to open up, the question is going to be, equal parts, who can we go out there and get? Is it worth going out there and getting? But then equally, do we trust that what we have seen offensively through the first half of the season is going to be sustainable? Because if the answer to that is no, then the incentive to go out there and buy at the deadline is significantly smaller. If you look at everything that you've done through the first half of the season and you think, yeah, we can absolutely carry this through, no doubt about it, we fully believe in everybody. We think that everybody is going to be as good as they have been to this point in the season. We fully believe that the team that has already put up 513 runs on the season, we fully believe that they can continue this stretch through the second half. If you fully believe they can do that, you go out there and you get them help. If you do not believe that they can do that, then's where things start to get a little wonky, and you're like, well, if we don't think that they can sustain this level of offensive output, then why would we move prospects? Why would we mortgage our future? Which I'm growing to hate that phrase. But why would we mortgage our future if we don't believe that what we are doing is going to work for the entirety of the season? That's a big boy conversation, but it's a conversation that needs to be had internally. And it's a conversation that should be ongoing internally to decide whether or not they're going to be buyers at the deadline. I think they should. What say you? 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Linnell Willingham joins us in 20 minutes. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Linnell Willingham joins us in 15 minutes. It's D-Day in D.C. Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. The Nationals have made this first hour kind of tough. I must admit, I take no pride in talking about how bad the blowpen has been. I take no pride in displaying them with a new nickname of the blowpen until they stop blowing saves. 27 of them now on the year, inching closer and closer to Major League Baseball's all-time single season mark of 37. I want to make history whenever history is eligible to be made. I would very much prefer it that it's good history. I know beggars can't be choosers in this instance, but if I had the preference, I would like to make good, positive history, not this. On the bright side for the Nationals, because it's not all bad, they did pick up another All-Star yesterday. Foster Griffin, named to the All-Star team after the weird situation that happened with Zach Wheeler in Philadelphia. Griffin should have been there already, but he got named to the NL All-Star team. So that's a big win. That's a positive sign for a pitcher for the Nationals. So I'll take that. I stumbled across something from Spencer Nussbaum, who covers the Nationals for The Athletic. He tweeted this out. This is an excerpt from one of his pieces, but it is particularly relevant. This was President of Baseball Operations Paul Toboni, and he had asked Paul Toboni about the bullpen struggles and finding arms. And this is what Toboni told Nussbaum. He said, quote, dating back to the offseason, if you're not going to give out major league deals for players and you're going to decide to deploy your money elsewhere, then you start to think like, okay, how are we going to build it out? And there are only so many paths you can go down to do so. That was obviously the decision that was made. It's one that I obviously think a lot about, given how the current year has gone. But I don't want to say all that while implying that I don't have hope and trust and belief in our current group, because I do. Like I keep saying, I think it's just about getting the best out of them while also saying we're going to keep our ears out for ways to upgrade. Everyone knows that it's what we'll continue to do, and I think it's what we're going to do over the course of the next 2-3 weeks. End quote. Lot to unpack there. Almost all of the unpacking is going to be done literally in like the first 3 sentences of that quote. Dating back to the offseason, if you're not going to give out major league deals for players and you're going to decide to deploy the money elsewhere, you start to think, how are we going to build it out? Answer, not well. This is a really funny concept in baseball, all sports for that matter, but particularly baseball, where the idea of a salary cap is not a thing. They're trying to make it a thing, not a thing. You have the money to spend. You are deciding to spend it elsewhere, which is fine. But then you look at the Nationals roster and you're like, wait a second. You're really not spending a lot of money. There are 26 dudes right now on the active list, right? 6 of them are making more than $1 million. The active tax for the Nationals right now is $41 million, according to SpotRack. That is not spending a lot of money. So this idea of, well, if we're not going to give out major league deals for guys in the bullpen and we're going to spend that money elsewhere, where did it go? Why didn't you spend that money for arms that you would consider are deserving of major league deals? Why was that not the case? Somewhere, Mike Rizzo is pointing, doing the Leonardo DiCaprio meme, saying, see, I told you so. I told you this was going to be the case. This was the case. I dealt with it for years. I came on the junkies after I was let go. And I even said that. Hey, it's really difficult to build a winning team when you have ownership that doesn't really want to spend. And in 2026, we still find ourselves as a fan base of this team stuck in the same spot. They came into the season knowing we aren't spending for arms in the bullpen. We're trying to stink. And then when they didn't stink and the offense is historically good, now they're looking around and being like, oh my God. Oh my God, we actually have to spend money. We actually have to spend money to do this thing. There should be no excuse when it comes to working the phones financially. There should be no limit to a deal that you can do. You're paying six dudes right now over $1 million. Six dudes. This is a professional sports team. Six dudes over $1 million right now. There should be no financial deal that you should not be willing to do, considering how good offensively this team is. By the way, the highest paid player is Luis Garcia, who is getting $6.8 million. So it's not like you're paying six guys $1 million, but somebody's bringing in like $25 million a year. The most that you are paying a guy is still under $7 million. And I know this isn't like the NBA where everyone makes that kind of money, but you have a lot of flexibility financially should you decide to actually get out there and spend. And that is like the problem here at hand that we are running into, is that ownership still does not seem very interested in going out there and spending. It's demoralizing because they should have won the Nationals yesterday. They should have won on Friday. They should be going right now for the sweep of the New York Yankees. You went yard twice off of one of the best pitchers in baseball and then held the Yankees scoreless all the way until the eighth inning before it proceeded to blow up totally in your face. And you had both the radio and television commentators openly acknowledging, yep, this is how it goes. Radio saying, here we go again. Colco on television said it happened in the eighth today, because everybody knows that the bullpen blows saves. Everybody knows it. And that's like kind of embarrassing to look around and be like, oh, we are the idiots here. We're the idiots because we keep trotting these guys out here when we know that they're not very good, just kind of hoping and praying that it's going to stick, that somebody is going to step up into the opportunity that is being given. And then it just isn't happening. It's diabolical at times. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me as well at The Denton Day if you have any thoughts on the Nationals and their blowpen, as we are calling them, until they stop blowing saves on a routine basis. They take on the Yankees today. That's going to be at 135. If they win the game, they will maintain a record above 500 going into the All-Star break for the first time in what feels like an eternity. If they lose, they will be one game under 500. Cade Cavalli on the mound for Washington. Love that. Will Warren on the mound for New York. Kind of love that one, too. If you can bully Cam Schlittler a little bit, I feel pretty good about what's going to happen when Will Warren, who's been a fine pitcher this year for the Yankees, but when Will Warren steps on the mound, I have a feeling offensively, especially considering the team scored only two runs yesterday, left the bases loaded on multiple occasions, stranded. I have a pretty good feeling the Nationals offense is going to have a lot to say about the decision today. Maybe they're going to go so far as to play so well that the bullpen quite literally cannot blow the 28th save of the season. Hopefully that's not too big of an ask. Hopefully. We've seen crazy things, though. This season's been filled with crazy things. At The Denton Days, where you could find me on Twitter. We do have a really fun day in DC sports lined up. Obviously, you have the Nationals and the Yankees. You'll also get to see AJ DeBonsta in action in the NBA Summer League. I wasn't sure that AJ DeBonsta was going to play again in the Summer League after the debut. He was so good. He checked every single box, and then he said the other day, nope, I am in. I'm going to play. The Wizards take on the Kings at 8 p.m. So you'll see DeBonsta at 8 p.m. Now, it's worth pointing out, the first game was on ESPN, right? Duh. It's DeBonsta. It's Darren Peterson. Naturally, the mothership going to be all over that one. Tonight is not ESPN. So if you want to watch the Wizards, it's on Prime. You got to go to Prime Video. I know, going to all these different streaming services kind of sucks. Not kind of, really sucks. But if you want to watch the Wizards, it's going to be on Prime Video. Wizards and Kings. I'm hoping and I'm expecting Darius Acuff to go as well. So you get Darius Acuff and AJ DeBonsta and Trey Johnson. Trey Johnson was awesome in game number one, too. Obviously, we focused a lot on AJ DeBonsta, as we should. Number one overall pick. Duh. Not reinventing the wheel there. But Trey Johnson was also really excellent for Washington. So I'm really excited about that one for Washington and getting to see A.J. DeBonsta in what should be the final time before the games actually matter. Because if he plays well today, I don't want to see him again. I know he wants to be a competitor. I respect that he wants to be a competitor. I love that he wants to be a competitor. I don't need to see him again if he goes crazy against the Kings. As long as he doesn't have like an Alex Saar Ofer performance, I'm done after today for AJ DeBonsta. Is this the last game that we will see AJ DeBonsta? Linnell Willingham will answer that question. He joins me next on 106.7. It's D-Day in DC, Denton Day on the Fan, 106.7, the Team 980, and the Odyssey app.